Welcome to the Journal of Nutrition podcast. Today we are speaking with Dr. Ursula Iwanek of Oregon State University about her study, Consumption of Green Tea Extract, Results in Osteopenia in Growing Male Mice, which was published in the October 2009 issue of JN. So can you tell us a little bit about who are green tea drinkers?
Green tea, or I should say tea, is one of the most popular beverages worldwide. And it is very, very popular in Asia, Asian countries such as China and Japan. There is something like 2.5 million metric tons of tea produced annually, and approximately 20% of that is green tea. And green tea consumption is becoming much more popular worldwide, and partially because of its purported beneficial effects.
What sort of evidence is there that people who drink green tea are healthier than those who do not?
The evidence is mixed. Lab studies, and this includes cell culture and animal model studies, suggest that green tea may prevent or slow certain cancers, may lower blood cholesterol levels and reduce weight gain, as well as fatty liver disease. Now, studies in humans, both observational and epidemiological studies, have shown associations between green tea consumption and, for example, reduced risk for cardiovascular disease, hypertension, obesity, as well as certain cancers such as breast and prostate cancers. However, there are as many studies that show no effect. And in some cases, the human studies, the observational studies, show detrimental effects. Now, if you go to the NCAM website, basically, NCAM indicates that there's not enough reliable data to support or really refute many of the claims made for the beneficial effects of green tea. And they're really supporting research right now to learn about more about the effects of green tea on cancer, diabetes, as well as heart disease. And as far as I know, currently the FDA does not endorse any of the claims, the beneficial claims of green tea.
Okay, well, we talked about the benefits. Your study actually looked at whether green tea might pose health risks. Can you tell us what studies have been done regarding that hypothesis?
There are very, very few studies as far as bone is concerned that have been conducted to investigate the relationship between green tea consumption and bone metabolism. There is some in vitro evidence that indicates that green tea catechins may have potential direct stimulatory effects on osteoblasts, bone-forming cells, so increased bone formation, and also have direct inhibitory actions on osteoclasts, so decreased bone resorption. However, they provide little insight regarding the physiological effects of green tea consumption on the skeleton. Now, in vivo studies, done predominantly in humans and some animal models, are inconclusive as to whether tea influences bone metabolism. There are several cross-sectional cohort studies in humans that report positive. There are other studies that report negative associations, and some report no association between green tea consumption and bone mineral density. So you can pick and choose. In terms of animal models, it's even more limited. There's one study that came out last year or possibly this year. The senior author is Jai Sheng Wang. She's at Georgia right now, at the University of Georgia in Athens. And she's been doing a lot of work on green tea. And in her study, green tea extract, I believe, was administered to overactivized rats. And this is a model for postmenopausal bone loss. And she reported that green tea reduces age-related as well as overactivity-induced bone loss. And so while we're saying it may have negative effects in growing animals, what she's reporting is that it may have positive effects, slight positive effects, because the effects were fairly moderate in overactivity and age-related induced bone loss.
So in your study, you used obese mice.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about why you selected them and if there are any limitations to using that model?
Okay. Our study used both obese, the OBOB mice, as well as wild-type mice. And basically, the study, I'm interested in the effects of obesity on bone, as well as the effects of weight loss on bone. And Dr. Rich Bruno was doing this study in wild-type and obese mice in which he showed that green tea extract, this is 1 and 2% green tea extract, which is equivalent to like 7 and 14 cups of green tea consumed per day. And he showed that the green tea extract reduced weight gain in both the obese mice and the wild-type mice. And since I'm interested in bone, he graciously gave me the bones from these studies, and we sort of just analyzed them. And the obese mice are leptin deficient, so they don't produce leptin. And leptin is a hormone produced predominantly by fat cells that acts on multiple organs, including bone. And it functions as a sentinel of energy metabolism, and it's a potential mediator of the effects of fat mass on bone mass. So I'm interested in leptin, and as such, looking at the OBOB leptin-deficient mice allows me to make conclusions how leptin is involved in bone metabolism. And these OBOB mice, these leptin-deficient mice, develop obesity because they do not make leptin. So the messenger to the brain of fat stores is missing, and as a result, the brain is not getting the message that the energy reserves are available. And as such, these mice just eat and eat and eat. And also, they have reduced metabolism because, again, as far as the hypothalamus is concerned, these mice are starving. So, again, we looked at the effects of tea both in normal mice, wild-type mice, as well as in these OBOB mice.
Can you tell us what the results and why you think they occurred the way they did?
Okay, so our results showed that in growing mice, in both the obese OBOB leptin deficient mice as well as in wild type mice, green tea extract reduced bone length, indicating that the growth plate was affected, and it also reduced cortical bone size. The cortices were thinner. So there are two types of bone, cortical bone and cancellous bone. And cortical bone, is its predominant function is structural. And cancellous bone, predominant function is involved in structure as well, but also in metabolism. So bone acts as a reservoir for calcium. And a cortical bone was affected as well as cancellous bone. And so we saw thinning of the cortical bone, and we also saw deleterious effects on bone architecture and cancellous bone. Basically, cancellous bone is spongy, and what we saw that there were, and it's made up of these trabeculae, and what we saw with the green tea extract was that the trabeculae were thinner and they were less connected, indicating if we had done a biomechanical test, the bones would be weaker. And so, again, this is just one study indicating this. But based on this study, the mice had less bone, shorter bone, and bone that was architecturally compromised. And, you know, why did this occur? Well, we have two possibilities. It could be just the weight. These mice weighed less, and as a result, they may have less bone. And we've shown in the past that weight accounts for anywhere between like 35 and 90% of the variation in bone mass in mice. And again, this is dependent on site. And so it could just be the reduced weight. Also, T increases sympathetic signaling, and that has been shown to be potentially detrimental to bone. So these are our two main hypotheses of why this is occurring.
Would you say that based on these results, we should not recommend green tea for growing children or women who may be at increased risk for bone disease already?
That's a tough one. For growing children, I mean, all we have right now is this one study. And in our study, again, animals drinking or consuming the green tea extract had suppressed bone growth. I think we need to do more work before, you know, we jump to humans.
Mm-hmm.
And children don't drink that much green tea, so it's probably not an issue. And in terms of postmenopausal women, okay, we wouldn't have the same effect on as we did on growth in mice because postmenopausal women are no longer growing. Bone growth ceases in humans slightly after puberty. And the study by Shen et al. That I spoke about before, this is Jai Shengwang being the senior author on that study, that indicates that it may actually be have a beneficial effect in postmenopausal women, but again, that's just based on one study. So at this point, I'm really leery about making recommendations. What we may have here is something similar to alcohol. Alcohol consumption is really detrimental to the growing skeleton, but it may be beneficial for bone loss in postmenopausal women. There are epidemiological studies which indicate that women who drink moderately have increased bone mass, and we've just completed a study, a pilot study in women, where we asked women who drink moderately to go cold turkey, so basically decrease alcohol consumption for 2 weeks, and then we did blood measurements for markers of bone resorption and formation. And what we've shown that moderate alcohol suppresses bone formation, suppresses bone resorption. And as a result, this lifestyle that includes alcohol consumption may be beneficial for reducing bone resorption and bone loss in postmenopausal women, where it may be very detrimental to the growing skeleton of an adolescent. Whether green tea has similar effects remains to be determined.